Shopping in real life is very social experience. People like me go to shop alone sometimes when I need a shirt or something. But typically people go with friends and family, and it's like a more entertaining and social experience. Right now, the online shopping is very dry. If you make it more social, people will just buy more.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, we release 5-episode mini-series, each diving deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be channels, email, SEO, Facebook ads, or a big topic like acquisition, retention, or conversion rates. In each episode, new ones come out on Wednesdays. I get to interview a different expert to explore another way to make that marketing method work for you. And then after each 5-episode mini series, we get to take a week off, giving you time to implement, because there's no point if you don't implement. Now, at the moment, we are deep in conversion rates, because conversion rates improve all your marketing results. In each of the episodes, we're tackling a different angle. Last time, we got into the tricky big picture topic of building trust with your site visitors. This time, we're getting far more into the nuts and bolts of things, operating some quick wins as our guest shares the 5 big mistakes quietly killing your e-commerce conversions. And of course, we get into how to fix them as well. So lots of cool, practical advice that all of you can implement coming up in this episode. Get your pen and paper ready, or be ready to re-listen or download the transcript, because we're going to be getting into all of this very shortly. My guest, Ashu, is also providing some brilliant insights and ideas, and even a tool recommendation in the Insider Tips. So make sure you listen to right to the end so you catch that as well. Have you downloaded our ebook yet? To celebrate reaching episode 300, we created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook packed with 118 top tips for e-commerce growth, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many from you, our listeners, as well. It's definitely one to dip in and out of and take inspiration from as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop, or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/growth ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with conversion rate expert Ashu Dubey. Ashu is CEO of Alhina AI, where they're focused on reshaping the future of online shopping through AI innovation, from AI search engines right through to every customer interaction. Clients include Victoria Beckham, Dryrobe, Crocus, and Unilever Prestige. Hello, Ashu.
Hi, Chloe. Very excited to be here. Thank you for having me. Hey, everyone.
Awesome to have you here too. I'm really excited to get into this topic. But before we do that, how did you get into the world of conversion rates?
So before I started Alhina, I was leading growth at product growth, core growth at LinkedIn, where my job was to make sure when people visit LinkedIn, we convert them either as a login or sign up or make them download an app. So that's all I did for 5 years before coming to Alhina. So that's something very close to my heart. I am nerdy about conversion. And I always think when I go to a website, the first thing comes to my head inadvertently is, what are they doing wrong with, you know, how can they improve their conversion? Because that's what I have lived and breathed for last 5 years and last 4 years as well at Alhina. So in a way, it's like more than 5 years.
Presumably, you look at e-commerce as an easy place to drive conversions compared to trying to get cold traffic to LinkedIn.com to convert. That must be an awful lot harder.
You are right. I mean, they both are, I would say e-commerce is easy, but there are different challenges when it comes to LinkedIn versus e-commerce. In LinkedIn, people are actively trying to not sign up a login because people want to snoop on each other and not tell them that I'm looking at your profile. In e-commerce, it's slightly different. What I found is 2 things in e-commerce. One, people are very metrics oriented. Even the smaller teams, they talk about A/B testing. They run those experiments. Second is, even after that whole metrics orientation, I did see a lot of low-hanging fruits, which I'm sure we'll get into the details later, as like what are some of the mistakes that companies are doing. But I did see on the e-com, there's a lot of low-hanging fruits that people can do to improve their conversion.
Awesome. One more question for you before we start getting into that good stuff. As someone who follows you on LinkedIn and, you know, the business you're building as well, I know how deep you are in the AI space and what's happening and what's going on. So, ridiculously huge question, you know, answer this however you see fit. But where do you think AI is going to make the biggest impact in e-commerce in the next 12 months? Because there seem like it seems to be happening in all different kinds of areas. And I'm never quite sure what's going to be the big game changer for us.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And one thing I'm very sure about is we'll start to see AI agents, like personal AI agents, go and buy for us and buy things for us in e-commerce, specifically with e-commerce. Now, we've been hearing about it, but now we are at a stage with, there are many enthusiasts who are spinning up their own personal agents. It's just a matter of time where we start seeing this like personal shopping agents go out and start making those purchases. And I think all the Legos are in place and they just need to be put together. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they would be put together in the next 1 or 2 months. So that's going to happen. And once it happens, it's going to take the world by storm. Now, it's how e-commerce companies react to it. It's a different question. And I'll give you a bonus one as well, which I've been thinking about. The second one is, you know, from a company perspective. And so what I mentioned is personal agents, but from a e-commerce brand as a company perspective, I think we are going to see bifurcation of agents in two main areas, two main buckets. One is internal company agents, which are like merchant facing. How do I optimize my supply chain? Upload an image, etc. And the second would be a customer-facing agent. And we are going to see some consolidation in that. In fact, we already see consolidation in how brands approach Elhina. For example, we typically replace like 4 or 5 different solutions into one stack with Elhina. And Elhina is primarily customer-facing. And so I think that trend is going to accelerate. And we'll see like a customer-facing AI and merchant-facing AI in two clean buckets.
Yeah, it does seem like when you're pulling so much information together, why would you do that multiple times when you can consolidate in one tool?
Exactly,
one
yeah. So there is a natural pull, natural gravitation towards like having one AI face all the customers. And because you need to train it once, all the information is there. You know, you put the guardrails once and you don't have to do it at 5 different places.
Exactly. Well, let's get into our topic. I could carry on talking to you about that for a while, but it's not what the audience are tuned in for. So you very coolly suggested this brilliant topic, which is the 5 mistakes quietly killing your e-commerce conversions, which it's very easy to talk about the must-dos. It makes much more sense to look at the mistakes. And I know you and your team look at so many sites and what isn't working. So I'm really looking forward to getting into these. So let's tackle them one by one. Ashu, what's our first mistake to avoid?
Great. I'm very excited to talk about this one. The first one is making every CTA scream. And what I mean by that is you find something very flashy. Let's say a new virtual try-on tool. You're an apparel brand. You found a new virtual try-on tool. And you made a like large, juicy, flashy, very beautiful button that is very attractive. People come to your product listing page, they see that button and they click with it. But just think about what it's competing against. It's competing against that add to cart button, where if that person was interested in buying, now all of a sudden you distracted them with this virtual try on, which if it was not there, they could have gone to add to cart. And so it's basically an attention game on the product listing pages, and you want to be clear what you want the users to do on that screen. Like, there is a principle, don't make me think when I'm visiting your site or product or anything. And that's the same principle that applies over here. So we see that mistake very commonly, especially in e-commerce. And I have learned it the hard way at LinkedIn, because over there as well, on in any product, you want to have like one specific action that customers would do. And invariably, you don't want the attention gets distracted if you introduce something new, flashy. And in e-commerce, it's very common because people don't have that 5 years of experience coming into, you know, or 10 years of experience coming into and doing conversion every day and day in and day out. And so I just gave an example, but you can extrapolate it to anything. You have a new offer coming in. Sure, like you can just like plaster it all the everywhere on the PTP page, but it will compete with the add to cart. Same on collections. So think of like, what is the one action you want the users to do on homepage? If you want them to decide between 2-3, present them in that way so that the hierarchy is clear. On PTP page, I think it's very clear that you want them to add to cart, and every other CTS should be in service to add to cart. And only if the users are just exploring, you want to bubble up other options. And so it has to be done very thoughtfully rather than, I like this experience and let me put it as a new CTA on my site, because it will hurt you. People don't realize before they run it for a month or two, and then they say, oh, I'm losing money in my A/B test.
It is kind of mad we have to keep saying it. You know, I think of like, you know, big rules in email marketing. You only need one link. You don't need to put the link three times in the written text or whatever else. And because it works better. Clarity works better. And then you think about the Google homepage and the beauty and the simplicity of the Google search homepage and the fact they have someone in charge of keeping it empty of all other things. And it's like, it seems absolutely mad we have to keep saying it, but I'm sure many, I reckon at least 50% of the people listening to this, if they went and looked at their product pages with through the lens you've just given them, would be like, oh dear. Everything's going on. So I love that as our first mistake. And a super, super straightforward one to fix as well. What's our mistake number two that we need to avoid, Ashu?
And so mistake number two is related with AI. And these days, the AI agents that you have on your site, they're very powerful. But if you just have them hiding behind a chat bubble, you are doing a disservice to the capabilities that the AI agent can do. And so typically that AI agent can help people find products, can help them with orders. It can go deeper. For example, if you're using, let's say you're a skincare company and you're using Alhina, this AI agent can analyze someone's facial image and recommend them stuff from your catalog. It can run a quiz, very like lightweight quiz, and do product recommendations, build a routine. And now imagine you are hiding all of this behind a chat bubble. And the users don't really know what is inside unless they interact with the chat bubble. And if you see the engagement percentage of even the best chat bots on a website is less than 1%. And so if this is less than 1% of your users are engaging with your best sales associate, which is hiding behind a chat bubble, you are doing a disservice to your users and to the technology that you worked so hard to onboard, and you're paying big bucks to put it on your site. And so the fix to that for me is put the contextual entry points all across. And we have some customers that do a really fantastic job in terms of like putting it different places. So one customer, they have it on homepage, you know, different contextual entry points for the people to discover. On collections pages, they have different entry points. Let's say you are on like a skin cream product. And so they will say like, let us help you find the right skin cream. And you click on that and then it opens that whole new experience. We also launched embeddables in that area. So embeddable agents are like compact agents. So let's say you are on a collections page and you want to run a quiz. So that will start running a quiz. And it's the same AI, but the idea here is you spread your best sales associate, you make it contextually available where the users are. An analogy would be a physical store where your best sales associate is lying in a corner and the users have to walk all the way across the room to find your sales associate and get them. So you don't do that. You have multiple associates all across the store so that you just can find them easily. And that's what the mistake number two we see. And so,
I suppose it's like you build all this great functionality to help the customer, but then you leave it with a little button down the bottom right-hand corner, which if they happen to click on it, they'll get the great experience. So why in your moisturizer category would you not have
exactly
want help with finding the correct moisturizer for you? Click and away you go.
Right. And typically, to add to your point, people go to a chat bubble. We have trained them to go to a chat bubble only for support queries, not for shopping queries. And so people typically don't even think of going to a chat bubble. And it's such a loss for everyone.
Yes, it's like it's we've been ingrained to think it's a post-purchase service, not a pre-purchase service.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Cool, okay. Mistake number three, please.
Yeah, the mistake number three is, like, since time immemorial, if shoppers are coming to your site, you cannot assume that they know what they want. And it's also a function of this mistake happens because that's how the e-com was. You know, you prepared a collection page and, you know, through some filters and grids and let the users go and, like, figure out, you know, choose these filters and see what you would want. Now, again, going back to a real store example, a good sales associate asks questions to understand, like, what they want and nudges them towards certain products and makes their decision easier rather than leaving them, oh, you can buy this and you can buy this. No. If I go into a good restaurant and the good waiter tells you, here is what is most popular, here is my favorite. And so you have to lean in into your customers and tell them, based on their requirements, what are the things they would want. And so I think that's a very common mistake we see. I mean, it's not a mistake because people make it intentionally or anything, but it's just a function of how e-com has evolved so far. But with AI, it's easier to fix that kind of mistake because you can guide the shoppers now. I think everyone should be doing that.
Got you. So is that something we deploy with our design of the site, or is it again those kind of like need help to find what you're looking for buttons or something? What does a better version look like?
I think the way we solve it is if we see, let's say, a user comes and they have spent 30, 40 seconds, we let them breathe. And if they have still not taken an action that counts as a legitimate, meaningful action like add to cart or compare two products, then we gently nudge them with AI. We tell them, hey, can I help you find this right dress? Or are you wondering about whether this dress will fit you or not? Or the care instructions. So the AI will generate a contextual copy in the moment, looking at what the user has been doing since they landed on the site. It's same as a store associate. I keep going back to that example because that's what we try to do. And if you go back to that analogy, a lot of things fall into place. And so if I walk into a store and don't do anything for some time, a store associate will invariably come and say, like, hey, can I help you with something? And so it's the same experience we try to do over there. And we guide them towards, we ask them two or three questions, and then we guide them towards, we don't throw the whole grid at them. Once we have understood what they need, we tell them, like, here are the three things that will meet your requirements the best. And we see the conversion rate go through the roof because there are people who engage with that. They buy 400%, 500% times, like 4x, 5x times higher than people who don't engage, primarily because of the way we make those recommendations.
So a big old AOV improver as well as a conversion rate improver there.
100%.
Nice. Okay. Number four, what's our fourth mistake to avoid?
Yeah. And this is that shopping in real life is very social experience. People like me go to shop alone sometimes when I need a shirt or something. But typically people go with friends and family, and it's like a more entertaining and social experience. Right now, the online shopping is very dry. And we want to change this. I think we should all be changing this. And if we make it more social, people will just buy more. The add to cart will go up, and add to cart to checkout will also go more. And so my recommendation here is make the recommendations easy to share. And so right now, I don't see any like share button on, let's say I'm looking at a PDP page. I should be easily able to share this to my friends and get some feedback. And that whole experience around social interaction of like the shopping, online shopping is currently missing. And I think that's a big miss. That's inherently how people shop. Because of AI, for the first time, we have an opportunity to make online shopping actually even better than offline shopping. And what do I mean by that? So again, let's take an example. I want to buy a shirt. Now, I could go into a store and maybe I can try 2-3 shirts and see how do I look. That's it. And maybe I'll send a picture to someone in my friends or family and they'll give me feedback. With AI, I could try like hundreds of shirts, like tens, at least not 100 will be too much, but at least dozens of shirts and see how do I look and get feedback from others as well to get that experience. So the online experience in this case is meaningfully better than offline if you make it social and like more entertaining. And I think that we should be able to do that with AI now.
But it does feel like with the growth in, you know, TikTok shop and live shopping activity, that the more social elements seem to slowly be coming in. But yes, you're quite right. It's like, if I want to say, here's an outfit, like, am I going to go and manually gather 3 or 4 URLs to put together and then expect my friends to look at each of those URLs or screen grabs? It's there has to be a better way that clearly can bring the consumers' friends back to the website rather than leaving them in WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or wherever it is they might be having those conversations.
Right. And for what it's worth, I think TikTok shop is in the right direction. It's definitely social and entertaining. But there are many people who are not on TikTok. And so it needs to be social even outside TikTok.
Oh, exactly. Platform agnostic, I think. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Our fifth and final mistake. What could it be? What is it, Ashu?
Yeah. And this is the fifth one is similar to what we mentioned around. It's kind of a derivative of the second one, which is assuming that shoppers understand what modern AI can do. So we talked about hiding your best sales associate in a corner. But even if I walk to someone, if they don't tell me what their capabilities are, I won't know what to do with that. So for example, modern AI can do a lot of things like find my shade, style a dress, like create a complete outfit, build a hair care routine, all of that. And now if you don't educate the users as these are the capabilities of the AI or your like whatever experience you have, they won't be able to ask for those questions. They won't be able to get that help. And they will leave thinking, okay, it was a normal AI experience. I asked for where is my order and that's it. And so there is a big education piece over here. So whenever people walk into it, either show it contextually or use some sort of quick start buttons when people are going to an AI to help them get started quickly so that it helps them think through. It tells them that this is a more capable AI than what I've been used to in the past.
See, I really love that you've got that in two separate mistakes. You know, the point about just not proactively telling people and then the point about people don't understand the AI, because I think they're both such huge messages that we need to be hearing to enable consumers to shop better with us. Because it's like, unless you actually go, hello, we've got a fit finder, you know, hello, we know we can scan your face and help you, people are just going to carry on going on, you know, putting it on a blog page somewhere is not sufficient.
I think you said it better than me. I 100% agree. And the way to think about it is like a funnel. Like, one, you need people to understand that I have a very capable AI. And when they come across it, then they need to know what are the things it can do. And right now we see mistakes on both of those fronts. That's why these two are separate.
Yeah, and rightly so. Well, actually, it's been brilliant running through those five mistakes with you. You've given our audience, I know, an awful lot to think about. And if they're not already browsing their websites, trying to work out how many of they're falling foul of, I'd be very surprised. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Ashu's insider tips on conversion rates and my suggestions for other ways we can help you. Have you downloaded our ebook yet? To celebrate reaching episode 300, we created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook packed with 118 top tips for e-commerce growth, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many from you, our listeners, as well. It's definitely one to dip in and out of and take inspiration from as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/growth ebook. Okay, Ashu, so far we've gone deep into the five mistakes. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of conversion rates. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with conversion rates, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Ashu, are you ready for the insider tips?
Let's get going.
Let's start with the newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to get themselves the best chance of success?
I'm assuming this is about best chance of success when it comes to improving their online store, correct?
Sounds like a good assumption to me.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think the first one, which is very hard to do if you're in e-com, if you're on the brand side, is to put yourself outside of that and think from a user's perspective. What I do whenever we go live with a customer is I go through the whole flow as a user and multiple times from different angles. And I think the brand managers and all the e-com professionals should be doing that as well. And so what I would do is I'll start from all the way from the beginning. I land it. I searched on Google, find that product, then go all the way to checkout. We always order at least one piece from every of our customers. So we have a whole museum of products that lie in, skin cream to dresses to shoes and everything. And so we do that just to make sure we understand the full funnel. And I think from a user's perspective, and I encourage everyone in the company to do that as well. And I think everyone should be do that. That puts you in a different shoe from a user side. And that will help you uncover many smaller some of these mistakes I mentioned, you'll be able to figure out on your own if you go from that angle.
Yeah, it's like 101 conversion rate improvements. Actually go and look at your own website on the devices your customers are using, which we're all, myself included, terrible at actually getting around to doing. So I love that.
So for example, one common mistake I have seen, and which is you built a website, but since it's your work, you check it out only on your laptop, which is a big mistake. Now, 85% of users are on their phone. And so you need to, first thing it's to do is once you build it, you go to and check it on phone. I think this goes without saying, this is such a common thing, but I see that mistake very often.
Yes, and making your desktop screen smaller does not count in this instant.
No, it does not. Exactly, because the different operating systems have their own nuances.
Oh, completely. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, actually, so on that, improving performance, it is slightly technical, but on Chrome, you have a tool called Lighthouse. I was showing this to a VP of e-com at an apparel company, and she was like, I'm not sure I have seen that before. I'm not sure whether my agency is doing that. And so she quickly took a screenshot and sent it to her agency, and they were doing that in that case. But even you don't need to be an engineer to do that. You just in your Chrome. The Chrome gives you many tools. One of them is Lighthouse. It's in developer console. If you right click and go into one of those options, you'll find it. If not, just Google how to use Chrome Lighthouse. It will tell you. It gives you a lot of quick, not just even quick, it's a list of things that you can improve on your site that Google measures in order to improve your rank. And it gives you a score out of 100 in SEO, in performance. There are 5 criteria it gives you. It's an amazing tool. It's for free. Everyone should be using it.
Yeah, so it's mad more people don't know about it. But I'm not surprised your VP e-commerce hadn't seen it before, because it feels like a secret opportunity. So love that you've included that one for us. If someone listening wants to learn even more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
So I would say two. One, we keep sharing some of these tips on our blog. Second is on YouTube, if you can go, there are a bunch of videos about conversion mistakes, how to improve conversion. And at least I was checking, a few of them are good. So people have gone through actual e-commerce sites and sort of a teardown. That's a great place to get started. And if you fix the common mistakes, you are 80% of the way there anyways. And so you don't need to watch all of them. Just watch one or two and you'll be on your way.
Yeah, it's amazing. This really is one of those areas where when you take that cold look, you know, or you watch a video with like the really obvious stuff, like, oh my God, we're getting so much of that wrong. So there are some really quick wins to be had. So I love that. And is your blog, if they go to alhina.ai and look for the blog, they'll find that content?
They'll find it, or the URL is alhina.ai/blog, and they'll be able to search for these things.
Marvelous. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, I think we answered it in the beginning with cool. The two things. Which is we will see a lot of like agentic shopping happening. The agents, and they won't be shopping for the considered purchases yet because people won't be comfortable, but they will be shopping for a lot of like regular things that we are using in our day-to-day life that we don't even think about, the kind of things we buy on Amazon or somewhere. I think agents will start doing that. And then we'll see more consolidation around a customer-facing agent, like one platform that is doing everything customer-facing, one on the merchant side.
I completely agree with you. And yes, I don't think the luxury fashion houses need to be too worried about agentic purchasing yet. But if you're selling batteries or washing powder, I think you probably do.
Yeah, that's coming.
Indeed. Well, look, actually, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can get in contact with you and your business?
Thank you, Chloe. It was fun. Yeah, you just can find us on our website, alhina.ai. I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter. My slug is Ashu Dubey. That's first and last name together on LinkedIn. Just search for me on LinkedIn. You'll find me. And there's a like, little top voice icon over there. So you'll see. You'll find me easily in the search results, hopefully.
Awesome. I highly recommend all of you go and follow Ashu on LinkedIn because both his e-commerce and AI insights are well worth being on top of. So definitely go and find him on LinkedIn and then head to alhina.ai to check out what they're up to, what they could do for you and the blog. Ashu, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a super practical, insightful session on conversion rates. So really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Chloe. I had so much fun talking to you on this show. Thanks for having me.
Awesome to get to catch up with Ashu there. And I think you'll agree, some super practical, awesome tips and advice there to help you both improve the conversion rate of your, I guess, standard website, but also to help you make the most of those AI agents that I'm sure you're all deploying and working on training on your websites at the moment. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode and our notes at keepoptimizing.com. You can use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of the episode into the URL bar. That will take you straight to the correct page on the site. And when you get there, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it, then I was going to say, check out episode 126, where I'm chatting with Adam Pierce of Blend and e-commerce collab club, if that sounds familiar, about improving customer experience of your product pages. That's episode 126. But I'm also going to say that in a couple of episodes time, as part of this conversion rate series, we've got a deep dive into Core Web Vitals, which is all the stuff lighthousey, as Ashu was mentioning there in the insider tips. Big deep dive into all of that. So I highly recommend you make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on that one. You can also find our full thread of conversion rates content by either scroll up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/CRO to go to the website and find all of that. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show as well, because we produce it to help all of you improve your performance of your business's marketing. So don't keep it as a secret. Share, please share. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Have you downloaded our ebook yet? To celebrate reaching episode 300, we created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook packed with 118 top tips for e-commerce growth, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many from you, our listeners, as well. It's definitely one to dip in and out of and take inspiration from as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/growth ebook.